scriptures together. Our text will come from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. It's on page 1239 in your pew Bibles. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. And close the path to misery. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Now, this world is a weary one. There are miseries. There are sadnesses. There is isolation. There is pain, suffering, hardship. And some of those seasons can feel unending, that they will never come to a close. What do you do when you have the words to sing before you? Rejoice. Rejoice. When it feels as though the path to joy is forever closed. What do you do? Now, what do you do if you're the prophet Habakkuk? And there is no fruit on the vine. The fields are barren. The stalls are empty. What do you say? What does the prophet Habakkuk do with that? He says, though the fig tree will not blossom, and though there be no fruit on the vine, though the fields be barren and the stalls empty, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3. It's the heart of our Lord Jesus, the man of sorrows, the one who is acquainted with grief. And that man of sorrows, for the sake of the joy set before him, endured. Endured the cross, despising the shame. It's Paul and Silas arrested and put in prison. And they are heard at midnight singing psalms. Yeah, it's the disciples leaving the hill where Jesus had left them. For the last time, they would never see Jesus' face again until they entered into glory. Luke 24, he has given them their instructions, their marching orders. They are to go forth into all the world. And then he ascends. their dearest companion, defender, instructor, mentor, discipler, and he is gone, leaving that. Just picture yourself, picture being one of the disciples and the massive chasm that would leave in your soul. That this man with whom you had lived and eaten and prayed and suffered and endured hunger and thirst and suffering, and he's gone. And you will not see him again until you yourself enter into glory. And yet, how are they described? Luke 24. How are they described in verse 52? They went home rejoicing. How do you rejoice when your dearest, your strongest, your most faithful friend and mentor is gone? How do you rejoice when the stalls are empty and the fields are barren? How do you rejoice when you are in the midst of a season that seems to be unending and the path to joy is closed? Now we're looking together at the fruits of the Spirit. And you notice the language. It is fruit in the singular, not fruits in the plural. It's fruit singular. They're all of a whole. And it is the fruit that is of a supernatural origin. It is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that flows out of union with Christ. It's the fruit. It's these characteristics. It is these traits that grow out of your soul because you are in union with a suffering, crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. Union with Christ is the origin. That is the soil from which these fruits grow. How do you rejoice and mean it? It's not a superficial, happy, clappy, sentimental, now I am happy all the day. No, how do you rejoice and you mean it? Not by a plastic superficiality, not by a sappy sentimentality, but by a true, earnest, deeply convicted emotion. We are emotional beings. And that's okay. You know it's okay to be an emotional being? It's all about harnessing them, controlling them, right? You do not come to a place of joy by minimizing sorrow. We are not in the business of denying the reality of pain and sorrow. All right, there's a place for endurance and fortitude. But fortitude, endurance, that does not mean that you sugarcoat or that you dishonestly deny that there is a deep, severe pain. Misery is real. And we're in a weary, weary world. And each of you could testify that while overall things might be fine, deep down, there is sorrow. Joy is not about minimizing pain or denying sorrow. It is about understanding there are two ways to reply. You know, someone asks you, how are you doing? There are two ways to reply. And they're both necessary and they're both vital. One way to reply, how are you doing? One way to reply is, how life is going. Now, what are the circumstances? What are the particular issues that are in your path currently? So one way to answer that question, how life currently is. But the second way to answer that question, how are you doing? You answer it this way. Not only how life is, but how it is being endured. And both of those answers are very, very important. And here's why. It is possible to be experiencing the deepest relational, physical, emotional pain. Not just discomfort, but I mean like deep wounds and pain. It is possible to admit that you are experiencing such pain and at the same time, in the same breath, you voice that your joy is intact, that your joy in the Lord is steady. Because joy is all about the direction you look. Joy is tethered to beholding, seeing, pondering, looking, listening. Joy, deep down, joy is about where you choose to look. And what the Apostle Paul does here is he gives you this cluster, this clustered fruit of the Spirit. Where does your joy come from? It comes from the things above. So I just want to leave you with two things as we consider this fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy. We considered love this past Lord's Day. Joy is tethered to the direction you choose to look, and the direction you choose to move. First thing I want you to hear, set your gaze upon the Lord. Where is Habakkuk's joy? Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Where is his joy? Despite the empty stalls and barren fields, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Okay, you cannot, if you are in a season of misery and pain, you cannot, and I urge you not, to command yourself to snap out of it and to be joyful. You cannot command your emotions on cue. You cannot simply tell yourself to feel more. That's not the way it works. If you're in a place of mourning and sorrow, look, what does the Lord of glory do for the Israelites who mourn in lonely exile? What does He give to them? He gives them not the command to get over it and snap out of it. He gives them Himself. He gives them the promises. He gives them the promises of the Messiah. Look, set your gaze upon the Lord. You cannot tell yourself to feel more. No, it's all about where you choose to look. Sacred emotion is drawn out by the direction you decide to focus. That's what it's all about. So you set your gaze in a certain direction. It's all about the perspective you willfully choose to take. So where will you decide to look? Okay, so you behold a work of art. You listen to a piece of music. You set your playlist to certain tracks. You might have your blue file, or your blues playlist. You know, you've got your go-to when your spirits are down. You have to know yourself. You have to know what you need. Some of you, you have your blue file, your blue soundtrack, playlist, whatever it might be. Okay, you listen, you behold, you ponder. True joy is drawn out not by reasoning it out logically. Sure, we can make the logical point that you should be a joyful person. Yes, sure. We can make that point all day long. But until you behold or you listen to something that is truly beautiful and good, joy will not be drawn out. So, behold the Lamb. Behold the goodness of God. Do you believe in the goodness of God? Do you trust in the mercy and the kindness of God? You stand. It's all about where you stand and where you choose to look. Can you stand before the Lord of glory? Can you lift your gaze to Christ? There He is. Psalm 27, there He is. Can you behold the King in all of His beauty? The psalmist, this is the psalmist's resolve. Psalm 43, I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Why do we sing? Why do we love to sing the praises of God? We love to sing because we are pointing ourselves, pointing one another to Him, the Lord of glory. Holy, holy, holy. The depth of your joy will be in proportion to the direction of your vision, your trust, your gaze. Look upon Christ. Once again, is that not the key to everything in life? Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all, there is a fullness in Jesus. There is a fullness. There is an ocean of love in this Christ. And just as the waves on the shore, He washes over His people. Look to Christ. Set your gaze on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So you set your vision in a certain direction. And aren't you glad that grace never says to you, you just need to feel it more. No, the way grace speaks to you is with a very clear, strong, and gentle hand. Look to Christ. There your joy is found. Even in the deepest season of emotional, relational, or physical pain. Set your gaze on the things above. But the second thing I want you to hear, move toward the instruments. Use the instruments. Use the gifts which He's given. How does He speak His grace to you? How does He pour out His grace to you? How does He, with that firm and gentle hand, how does He direct your eyes toward Himself? What does He use? Well, He uses means. He uses instruments. He uses tools. And in those tools, in those instruments, what do you see? What does the Lord use to increase your joy? He doesn't just snap a finger. No, He uses His words. What does Jesus say? John 15. My words I have spoken to you, that your joy might be full. Go to His words. Is this not why we love, as Christians, is this not why we love the way we worship? That the Bible, the words of God from start to finish are dominating with a continual pulse. That they dominate how we sing, how we pray. Go to the words. You go to the words of the Bible, and what do you find? There you find the roots. There you find the fountains. There you find the well of joy. Go to Christ. Go to His words. He uses means. And He uses not only the word read, He uses the word preached. He uses the actual verbal proclaiming of the Scriptures to increase the joy of His people. There is a revival, the same sort of revival which we would long and pray for here. There is a revival in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. There is a revival of true joy. They found it. There, the souls in Samaria, they found the root of true joy. And what is that root? Where have they found such joy in that city? There is the preaching of Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, there is much joy in that city. Why? Because of the preaching of Christ. Move toward the means. Move your feet towards the instruments of grace. Move towards these gifts which He has appointed. If you are in a place of mourning and sorrow, sometimes the thing we, first person singular and plural, when you and I are in a place of deep sorrow, sometimes we just need to move our feet. And we move. And where do we move? We move towards the instruments. We move towards the Scriptures. We move towards the preaching. We literally get into the car and drive down the road to the preaching of Christ. He uses means. He uses singing. All throughout the Psalms, if you and I were to read and pray through the Psalms this afternoon, what would we find? Over and over and over again, the people of God, they sing. Men, it is not soft for you to sing. We sing. And why do we sing? It's a vent. It is a vent for these deepest fountains of the soul. What we sing out of the deepest, strongest, granite-like conviction of soul. We sing the truth. We're not singing sentimentality or happy-clappy. We're singing the truth. We're singing the promises right back to God. And what happens when you do such a thing? Go back to your playlist. When you are weighed down, where do you go? You've got your tracks. You've got your songs. I've got them, and you've got them. Our individual tastes might be a little different when we're sitting at home, riding down the road. But y'all, you and I, we've got our collective corporate track. We've got our playlist right in the songs of Zion. Sing and see if your joy is not increased. You've got the words, you've got the preached words, you've got the singing of those words, you've got fellowship around those words. Move. Move towards those gifts of grace. Move towards those people who stir your joy in the Lord. Tonight we're talking about Jonathan. What does Jonathan do? He stirs the zeal and the joy of the Lord's people. He stirs them to a confident assurance to take the hill and strike the Philistine garrison. You need your people. You need the fellowship of the saints. And that's not just you, that is an apostle. The Apostle Paul speaking, Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32, he asks the Roman church to pray for him. Now, if you were to ask someone to pray for you, what would you request? That's a good question to think through. How would you ask someone to pray for you? What would you want them to seek from the Lord on your behalf? The Apostle Paul asks the Romans to pray that he would be delivered from his opponents. He asked them to pray that his ministry would be accepted and well received. And he asks them to pray that he would be able to come see them. That he would, by the will of God, come to see them with joy, and that his soul would be refreshed. The Lord uses means. He uses instruments to increase your joy. You need those people who will point you to the words of Christ. You need those fellow laborers, those fellow intercessors, those fellow soldiers. You need those brothers and sisters who will deliver to you faithfully what the Lord has said, who will pray scripturally for you, who will encourage you, exhorting you to press on. You need those people. That's why you need the church. Now, you and I are not intended to be individuals, a cluster of balloons that you let loose in your front yard and you watch them go up in the air and they separate and one ends up in a tree and one ends up on the neighbor's. No, you and I are intended to be a cluster. Just like the fruit of the Spirit is a cluster, so you and I are never intended to be pruned from the true vine. To be pruned from one another. You and I are intended to be a cluster. And the joy. You find the fellowship of the saints where you are exhorting one another, urging one another, pushing one another more towards Christ, pressing the depths of His love and His kindness together, speaking of these things together, and see if your joy does not increase. The apostles were given the benediction. The Lord Jesus ascends back to glory, and they go home joyful and glad of heart. For everything that He has done, everything that He has given. You and I, as we gather around the Lord's table, what does the Lord Jesus offer to you at the Lord's table? He offers to you Himself. Where is your joy found? Your joy is found in Him. And those gifts, those creaturely gifts, the earnest friendships in the Lord, those metaphors of creation that you and I see everywhere we turn, those creaturely gifts are intended to point you upward. In other words, the visible, what we see out there, He has appointed the visible to explain the invisible. He's given creation in order to reflect and illustrate spiritual truths. He's given you physical bread and wine to point you to things above. Brothers, sisters, children of Zion, look to Christ. Set your gaze on the things above. Yes, you and I, sorrow endures through the night. But is it not true that joy comes with the morning? Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, has come to this earth and He has closed the path to misery. There is a gauntlet to be endured in this life, but y'all, we are headed for that day when the path to misery shall be shut and it will be closed and the key will be tossed. Set your sight, set your vision on those things. And between now and then, go to the gifts, go to the instruments, you go to the words, go to one another. Grab one another by the arm and press one another on to the mark. Go to the gifts, go to the metaphors in creation, go to these things and set your sights on the things above. You and I are captive. We mourn in lonely exile. But the Son of God has appeared. He has appeared in the flesh. And at the supper, you and I have a little foretaste of fellowship with that crucified, risen, ascended, and fleshed Christ. So seek Him with me. Let's set our sights on the things above. And despite the pain, look up to Him. Let's pray together. Our kind, gracious Lord, we give You thanks that Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory. Our Lord Jesus, we pray that by Your Spirit You would grant a sliver of Your joy to Your people. O Lord, that our joy might be full. Are You not the King who rejoices in God? O Lord, have You not been anointed with the oil of gladness without measure? O Lord Jesus, we pray that as we are found in union and communion with You on this Lord's Day, that this truly would indeed be a day of rest and gladness, a day of joy and light. In Jesus' name, Amen.